The other essential interview do is asking of questions. The type of questions you ask and the way you ask them can make a tremendous impression on the interviewer. Good questions require advanced preparation. Just as you plan how you could answer an interviewer's questions, write out specific questions that you want to ask. What happens is many a times in the interview, if you are not prepared well enough, you might forget these finer or subtle points. So in an interview, many a times the focus might be shifted to you. A barrage of questions would be sent to you. So you might forget what questions you wanted to ask. So if you rehearse this well, like one of the steps we saw in the essentials, okay, so if you rehearse and role play those questions, if you enlist them, then there's a good probability that you might not forget them in the interview process. So you need to write out the specific questions you want to ask. Then look for opportunities to ask them during the interview. So you need to do this subtly. You need to do this using a tact or a strategy. You cannot just blast out the questions, and you need the right situation for these questions. For example, if the interviewer has asked you about your previous organizations, the culture, you can quickly post those, ask a question about the current organization's culture to gauge whether it is matching the organization where you worked previously. Don't ask about benefits or salary initially or at the midst of the interview. The interview process is a two-way street. In fact, this we have mentioned many times, once in this chapter as well, whereby you and the interviewer assess each other to determine if there's an appropriate match. Well, earlier it was just a match of the job description. Now there are many things which come under this. So you might also, want to prove to the interviewer that you are a cultural fit to the organization as well. So the kind of questions you ask, you can gauge and get information and reflect it in either this round or the next round of interviews. The next do is to maintain a conversational flow. By consciously maintaining a conversational flow, that's a dialogue instead of a monologue, you will be perceived more positively. So a person who is comfortable with the interview, who's actually knowledgeable about the process, who's comfortable with their own knowledge, are the people who will try to develop a conversational flow. In this context, the use of feedback questions at the end of your answers and the use of body language and voice intonation helps to create a conversational interchange between you and the interviewer. So if you have a voice which is rich with various different changes in pitch, changes in the tone, changes in the speed of what you speak, you will definitely create a conversational flow. The next do is research the company, product lines and competitors. This type of research will provide information to help you decide whether you are interested in the company, and important data to refer to during the interview. The next do is to keep an interview journal. As soon as possible, write a brief summary of what happened. Note any follow-up action you should take and put it in your calendar. Review your presentation accordingly. Okay? In this, you need to keep a journal of your attitude and the way you answered the question. So it's basically a reflection, or you can say a reckoning of what happened in the interview. In this context, it is important to review whether you asked questions to the information you needed. What might you do differently the next time? Prepare and send a brief, concise thank you letter. Restate your skills and stress what you can do for the company. Now we come to the essential interview don'ts. In this context, don't answer with a simple yes or no. Explain whenever possible. If you don't understand a question or need a moment to think about it, say so. Never pretend to know something or someone when you don't. Don't rely on your application or resume to do the selling for you. Interviewers will want you to be convincing. In the next set of don'ts, the very first states, do not make negative remarks about present or former employers. This has been repeated and reiterated time over, so that once you have done or finished watching this particular video session, this point fits firmly into your minds, because this is one trap which many candidates fall into. When explaining your reasons for leaving, communicate your rationale professionally. Communicating your rationale means communicating the logic about why you left the company without bad-mouthing or blaming them. Don't over-answer questions. This is another repeated point. If the interviewer steers the conversation into controversial or even illegal topics, try to do more listening than speaking. Keep your responses non-committal. So if somebody gets suddenly into politics, which are happening currently, like the Modi government or the fall of Congress or certain controversial topics, so you can do a good job by listening to the person, but you should not discuss a lot about your own views. Don't inquire about salary, vacations, benefits, bonuses or retirement on the initial interview. These things should be kept reserved once you are sure that the company matches your criteria and the employer or the interviewer is satisfied with your profile, with your personality, with your skills for their job requirement. Now let's discuss the topic of job interview etiquette and manners. Having successfully managed to secure a job interview, it is essential that you make a good lasting impression with the people who you meet, okay, or who meet you at any job interview. Showing yourself as qualified for the job is one important element, but you need to win the person over and ensure that he or she is also impressed by your personality. While the job interview etiquette and good manners are essential, by not following the correct job interview etiquette or not showing good manners, it is very easy to destroy the good work that you have done in the CV and in having an impressive career history. Interviewers want people they feel they can work with. Someone who is ill-mannered or does not follow the correct etiquette will quickly form negative impressions in the interviewer's minds. Let's now look at what is etiquette. Etiquette is not a word that is as widely used as it should be. It may have undertones of what is done in polite society and not relevant to everyday life, especially in today's informal atmosphere. However, it is very important to follow the right etiquette in a job interview, as you need to impress the people who are interviewing you. So etiquette is the kind of manners, the kind of courtesy, the kind of protocol required at a professional juncture, which is the interview. So the good question or the prime question is, what is etiquette, which we've just discussed. A quick reiteration, it is said to be the code for polite behavior in a society. In other words, it is following what polite code for what the interviewer will expect. The etiquette or code for the job interviews has many elements to it, but the section below outline a few hints and tips about what to do. So before we move ahead, to provide examples, let us say if you are in a group of people and there is a lady in that particular group, and you are next to the lady and you people are moving out of a particular room. So if there's a lady beside you and if you are near the door, it's etiquette that you open the door for the lady. Another etiquette is, whenever you are working and there is somebody who comes to your desk, so you It's an etiquette that you greet them, cease what you're doing for some time, maybe even stand and shake hands with them. Now let's look at the job interview dressing or dress etiquette. When you attend an interview, the way you dress is of particular importance. First impressions are all very important, and the way you present yourself by dressing will be one of the major elements in creating the right or wrong impression. In this context, it's necessary to judge the place to which you are going. However, for most professional jobs, a suit of some form is best. Often, it is wise to dress conservatively, especially for engineering jobs, as many engineers and engineering managers will be conservative by nature. For other types of jobs, especially marketing, etc., a more contemporary style may be acceptable. Contemporary here means a modern style or what is relevant today. However, before the interview, try to assess the place and the people and gain a good idea of what would be best. Now, there is a vast difference between the mindsets of different sectors in the industry and the different types of players in the industry. For example, if you go to businesses which are family owned and they've grown, there is a different culture than the culture prevailing in the newest call centers or the latest MNCs. So people in a family-owned business or a manufacturing kind of a setup would be more conservative than people who are working in a BPO or an IT company. So you need to consider these aspects before you go to the interview. If in doubt, a conservative approach is generally the safe option. There are a few styles in this context which one can easily avoid. In particular, it is wise not to dress in a provocative manner. Now, what is provocative? Provocative is a manner which sparks a certain disinterest or a curiosity or some kind of a debate or a provocation. For men, tight shirts, etc., that show muscular figures are not normally appropriate. Similarly for women, low cut or tight tops and short skirts are to be avoided in an interview situation. While these kind of things may turn eyes, it has been shown that managers tend to be cautious and tend to hire people who are not dressed provocatively. So people who are dressed provocatively tend to be dropped from the interview process. It has been shown that people who dress in a conservative suit are generally more successful for professional types of jobs. For women, it has been shown that a conservative dress style is also equally appropriate. So here we see from this last slide and this slide that a conservative dressing is one of the most preferred styles, at least in an interview. If it's not your style, probably you can limit it to the interview. Once you get into the job, you can slowly and steadily, show a less conservative approach to dressing. The next element of etiquette is being punctual. One of the big disappointment for any interviewer is being late for a job interview. Whatever the reason, any interviewer is likely to lose patience with anyone who is late. Even if unexpected road conditions have caused the problem, the interviewer may tend not to look beyond the basic fact that you are late. He is likely to have a busy schedule, and any lateness could disrupt that schedule. In fact, I remember from one of my past experiences that a crucial management interview, I was a panel to that for an IT process. The manager arrived late by 10 minutes. The person who was heading the panel that we were a part of actually did take notice of this and did not like this, and with the help of a consensus from the panel, ruled out the candidate, so did not allow the candidate to sit for the interview, although he was one of the best looking candidates by his profile or through the CV. Accordingly, it is best to plan to arrive close to the location of the prospective employer with some time in hand. So many a times, if you arrive late or if you are exactly on time and if you give a rebuttal or an excuse, the people will say, all right, why didn't you plan ahead of time? Why didn't you leave your house earlier, keeping a buffer? So it's a hit on your planning. Okay, people do not like this, they desist it. Even try to understand the route beforehand or try it beforehand and find any local coffee shops in which you may be able to wait if you're too early. However, don't allow so much time that you start to worry. It will be then possible to arrive at the reception point just a few minutes early and be in good time for the interview. Any last minute rush will make you agitated and stressed, and you may not be able to present yourself as well in the interview. So what will happen is, stress will start building up, anxiety will start building up because you are not making it on time. This actually will get reflected in the interview. Many a times, simple things like going to the washroom, combing your hair, okay, looking at whether there is any dandruff or any leaves in your hair, okay, then tucking in your shirt properly, all these things will not happen if you're not on time. The next element of etiquette is a good handshake. When meeting people, it is customary to shake hands. A handshake tells a lot about the person. A limp handshake by a clammy hand will not impress. A firm but knuckle-crushing handshake gives a far better impression, but it is perfectly normal, to be nervous in the interview, and this may result in a sweaty kind of a hand. It is worthy taking an extra handkerchief to wipe one's hand before the interview and make sure that you do not have a clammy hand when you shake people's hands. So the hand shake should be firm. It should be shaken from the elbow straight in a straight direction to show that you respect the person, you respect yourself, and that you are confident. So a handshake gives out unconscious signals about you. It gives out a lot of information about you as a person even before you've spoken much. The next element of etiquette is to remember names. It is often difficult to remember people's names when being introduced. Now the prime reason is there might be nervousness and anxiety on your mind. There might be some certain things that you need to remember during the interview, so a mental checklist there and other things. So there might be an n number of things going around in your mind, and thus remembering names will probably be an overload. So maybe later on you might forget the person's name. However, it makes a very good impression if you can remember the interviewer's name. One way to help is to repeat the names of the people in the conversation immediately after meeting them. This technique is known as the name face association, where you associate the person's face, some characteristic of the face, with the name. So let us, for example, say you're meeting with a person called as Harish, okay, who's the interviewer. Now Harish, the face of Harish, he is a good looking person, a very handsome person, so probably you can say handsome Harish in your mind. So what you've done is you've associated some face characteristic of Harish with his particular name. So you can keep repeating handsome Harish, handsome Harish. Okay, so what will happen is after some time that will become a part of your long term memory and you won't forget his name. If you have an interviewer who's a lady, and let us say her name is Beena, and Beena is good looking, so you can say beautiful Beena in your mind, so that the name stays there for a long period of time. Okay. For example, one could say something like, thank you for giving me your time, Mr. so and so, or something else that may be appropriate. So this is another technique which is mentioned here, the repetition, wherein you repeat the person's name again and again, like, good to meet you, Mr. Kumar. Well, Mr. Kumar, I had a few questions regarding the organization. Okay. Well, Mr. Kumar, you have lovely decor in your office. So if you repeat it a couple of times, automatically the name sticks, along with the technique of the name face association or something else that may be appropriate. This helps fix the name of the person in your mind. Unfortunately, it's always difficult to remember names when meeting people because you are usually focused on the initial meeting rather than remembering names, as we've just discussed in the previous slide. As names are important, remembering the interviewer's names will be seen as a very positive note. Another aspect of why it is so important to remember names is an excerpt from Dale Carnegie's famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, in which he has to say that the person's name is the sweetest sounding word that there exists in any person's mind. So let us say in a crowd of 60 people, a presenter calls out your name, or in an interview you call out, you know, the presenter's name or the interviewer's name, it is the sweetest sounding word. So that's another reason why the name is important. Now we come to the next element of etiquette, which is the non-verbal communications. Although we often think of verbal communications as conveying most of the information we give to other people, this is not actually the case. In fact, I discussed and shared with you a study done by Dr. Mehrabian in the US in the 1950s. So it's clearly evident that non-verbal communication accounts for much of the impression we create with anyone at the interview. It is therefore very important that any non-verbal communications reinforce the job interview etiquette impressions that have already been created. These, of course, include the eye contact, the posture, hand position, all convey information. So it is necessary to be aware of these elements. Eye contact, in fact, shows you that you are interested in what the other person is saying and doing, that you have confidence. Lack of an eye contact will imply that you are not interested, and it is also a sign of lack of confidence. Posture is also another indicator. Sitting back in a chair gives an impression of a casual attitude and gives a don't care kind of an impression. It is important to make sufficient eye contact with both or all interviewers and to sit up straight in a chair. It is not always possible to fake the body language, so it is often best to try to make yourself feel positive and attentive before going in for the interview. Having the right attitude will mean that the body language will follow suit. The next point is to sell yourself. The interviewer will expect you to sell yourself. It is effectively part of the job interview etiquette to be able to sell yourself in a professional and sensible manner. Selling yourself in layman terms is that you have been accepted, the qualities that you have been accepted by the interviewer. There are many ways of doing this. In order to sound truthful about your achievements, be prepared to use examples and specifics. So probably, let us say you hold the position of a production manager in a reputed manufacturing firm, and you're applying for associate GM in that company, in another company, sorry. So you need to show what you've done in your past company, how many, you know, units you have developed of a certain product, or how many people you have supervised, what are the new processes that you are aware of, and so on. By giving the underlying reasons for achievements, the interviewers will be able to see that you are not lying, and this will add credibility to your application. Don't brag and over-dominate the conversation is the next element for the job interview etiquette and manners. While it is necessary to be able to talk about yourself in a positive way, you will need to be careful to let the conversation be two-way. Many times it's noticed that if it's a brilliant candidate, they will talk more than what is required. They will not listen to the interviewer or not ask questions. So you need to be careful to not fall in this particular trap. The interviewer will want to ask questions. So be aware of this so that they can get into the conversation rather than just listening to a continuous sales pitch about yourself. So basically, nobody likes the other person bragging too much. It is also necessary to be careful, therefore, to be not seen as bragging. While you need to let people know your achievements, don't let it go so far that it could be seen as bragging about what you've done. The next element of etiquette is being truthful. One key element of the job interview etiquette is to be truthful. If an interviewer discovers you are lying, then he will not want to employ you, and often inconsistencies may give you away. Honesty also impacts how much you claim you have done yourself. While you want to claim credit for what you have done, don't overdo it, because this could be seen as lying, and the interviewer will definitely not like this. The next element is thanking the interviewer. One final piece of job interview etiquette is to thank the interviewers for their time. Interviewers will generally be busy and often have many interviews to conduct beyond undertaking their normal job. A short thank you at the end of the interview will help the interviewer to end on the right note. In this context, it's also worth writing a short note as soon after the interview as possible, possibly that evening, to thank the interviewers. Few people will take the time to do this, and it shows that you are someone who does not take things for granted. Not only is it good for the interviewers to know that their time was appreciated, but it may also help your job application. So in this way, friends, we've completed this particular chapter, which revolved mainly around understanding how job etiquette as well as manners affect the interview. We've seen three distinct steps which were discussed. Okay, the first being setting up of a rapport, the second the gathering of information, and the third stage, which was the closure. We've also seen the prerequisites for each stage. We've also seen the essential tips for an interview and the do's and don'ts for interview etiquette, and of course lastly the job interview etiquette. Okay, so in this way we've completed this important chapter, which related to courtesy, politeness and etiquette related with an interview. Thank you.